It's time for America's most unique motorsports show, Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor, brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to Mostly Motorsports. I'm Scott Traylor, along with producer Austin O'Neill. Welcome to the show. We got a good show lined up for you today. Derek Hagar is going to join us here in a little bit. He picked up a couple wins at the Hockett McMillan Memorial last year. We're going to talk to him a little bit later. He's got three National Tour wins in 2022. He picked up his last win down at Lake Ozark Speedway. So we'll talk to Derek Hagar. That guy just knows how to get around Lucas Oil Speedway. That guy is really good. He can drive a non-wing car. He can drive a wing car. He's exceptional at Lucas Oil Speedway. Austin, how are you doing today? You doing all right, bud? Is things going all right with you? Everything cool, peachy, fun? Having a good day?
So far, yeah.
So far? Well, yeah. Well, let's work another hour and see how you feel at the end of this hour. How about old Derek Hagar, man? That guy is a wheel man, isn't he? I mean, he is really good down at Lucas Oil Speedway, isn't he?
He's good in Missouri in general. It doesn't matter if it's Lucas Oil, the lake. I remember we went to, what's that track? West Plains Legit Speedway.
Yeah.
For the past, it was 20 and 21, we went down there, and Hagar just stomped a mud hole through us. I mean, anytime it gets slick, I can tell you who's going to win, and that's going to be Derek Hagar. He's has something figured out with this program that's just really good, that has worked and it continues to work. And it's as a competitor, it's very frustrating when
somebody puts it on you like that.
Yeah, because like you're throwing stuff at it, and you're like, man, what is this guy doing? And it's just
right.
That's what makes him good.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You think it's because he's a shot guy. Do you think it's because he's got a really good feel to how to build the shocks for Lucas Oil Speedway? Do you think that's it? Or do you think it's just because he's got a really good feel on how to build a shock for a slick track?
No, I think that's an advantage over it. Anytime you can be hands-on with your program and have, inside knowledge of shocks, it's your suspension parts, your rear ends, your engine, really anything, even your wings play a big effect into car setups, even though you probably wouldn't think they would just besides getting downforce. But right. Anytime you can have, that knowledge, it's going to be really beneficial to your program. I mean, another example is look at Jake Buback.
Yeah.
He works for Speedway Motors, and he works in the shock department. And, that guy's always has, a good package. He just picked up, the 305 Nationals at Eagle for... I mean, he's won it a couple times now. There's probably a couple other guys I'm forgetting that, work in the industry. But,
yeah,
I definitely think that, if you have that inside knowledge, it's just your program can be elevated, by a lot, really.
Now, do you ever try to do your own shocks, or do you let somebody do them for you?
No, I don't ever open them up. I know...
You could do it if you wanted to.
No, I mean, I probably could. I don't have, a dyno or
anything.
You're
a pretty smart kid. I think you could handle it. Yeah.
But, no, we have a shock manufacturer here in Missouri that we use. And, whatever I want, I just, tell them and I just.
You tell them what track you're going to, and then what do they – do you typically tell them when you go to your shock person, do you typically tell them – hey, listen, this is what I think the track is going to do this weekend. Is it going to slick off? Is it going to be heavy? Do you give them a little insight on what you think the track might do when you request your shocks to be built?
No, really what we do is we just, we use Sure-Built shocks that are out of Slater, Missouri. It's an FK or a factory cane, better known as an FK.
Right.
Body and internals, and that's the leading shock in sprint car racing right now. And now we just tell them what our package is, where we're going to be racing. I mean, we have a good relationship with Mike, so he knows, kind of what we like. And he just builds them to what he thinks will be best. And at that point, we have adjustments we can do throughout the night and dial them to, pretty much any track conditions. We have two sets, and they're all double adjustables, and we don't ever really feel like we have a night where, you know, we're lacking on our shock program. It's just maybe some little things that you can do to other areas of the shock that, you know, we haven't explored yet, but the other guys have, and that's probably the only part we're lacking on.
So, this week, listen, folks, we're going to talk a lot about the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial this week because, listen, if anybody knows anything about us, they know that we were very close with Jesse. And this is a special race for us. And I think it's special for a lot of drivers. Don't you think that a lot of drivers, when it comes to pay and how much money these races pay out, don't you think when the people go to the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, they want to win that race more than anything because they want to win it for Jesse? Maybe it's a the money is it the key issue at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, right? Would you agree with that on that a little bit? Money's always important. Don't get me wrong.
What I feel like everybody goes because, you know, it's Jesse's race. It's you know, it's Jesse and Daniel's race. You know, what they've done for racing around here and racing in general is huge. And it's just it's an honor for drivers to go to that race and be a part of it and say you can, you know, I was a part of Jesse's race and their race together. And
they give nice trophies out at that deal.
They
too.
Do too. And you know, it's really a, I guess you could say maybe a career, and 360 racing around here, like a career-changing race. You know, you win that. It's one of the biggest races we have all year. I think maybe it rivals, you know, the Knoxville 360 Nationals. And, you know, it pays really good, too. So, you know, you can say, yeah, I won that race, and it means the world to almost every driver out there that, you know participates, you know, at it. But also, too, you can turn around and say, all right, I won $10,000, too. So, like, you know, you're out here winning, you know, one of the biggest races we have, you know, throughout the year, and you're also coming home with a really good payday. You know, that's also why, I mean, you can...
10 grand's pretty good pay.
Yeah, and for 360s, it's really good pay, but, you know, I think at some point, you know, the race is continuing to grow, and the prestige is growing every year, too, that, you know, at some point, it will have a pay increase, and it will pay more, and that meaning of winning that race with the prestige and the money is just going to continue to rise and just build into something hopefully huge.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The non-wing race, how many of the fans do you think go down there to watch the 360 wing cars versus the traditional sprint cars with the non-wing cars with the War Power Eye cars? How many people, what do you think the percentage is between the fans that go down to watch those races? Do you think a lot of people want to come down and watch the non-wing cars, or do you think that a lot of people come down and want to watch the wing cars? What do you think about that, Austin?
I think they go down there to watch sprint car racing in general.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I don't think they care.
It doesn't matter,
you know,
does it?
It would be different if it was 360s and stock cars, 360s and late models. Maybe that'd be a difference.
Yep.
But it's sprint cars, and you know, Jesse – You know, ran both a wing car and a non-wing car, and made, you know, a huge impact in both cars. And, you know, the fans are going to go down there for the event and, you know, honor the two classes that, you know, made his career as successful as it was during the time that he raced. So, and also, sprint car fans are sprint car fans. They're going to go watch whether it's, you know, a wing show, a non-wing show, or, you know, a 305 or a 410 show. I mean, they're going to go because it's sprint car racing.
Right. I spoke with J.J. Hickel yesterday. He is not going to be there. He's going to go run some MOA races. Now, I didn't say this to J.J., but as the defending champion of that race, I would do anything in my powers to get back down there and try to defend my crown. But J.J. said there wasn't a good seat available, a good ride available for a 360 car to race down there at Lucasoil Speedway this weekend.
Yeah, that's the unfortunate thing about 360 racing right now. There's no rides available. It's not like a 410 deal where rides open up and you can cycle guys in and out, and you have a car that, you know, a guy runs for a couple nights and then a new driver hops in it, you know, for a couple more nights, you know, down the road. But 360 racing, it's usually, you know, driver owner deal, or your family owns it and your kid drives it.
Right.
And, you know, there's a couple guys, you know, that drive for other teams, like, you know, Dylan Westbrook and a Sam Haferty for Hills Racing. But,
right,
you know, there's probably a couple other guys there. But besides that, no, it's tough to find anybody that's wanting to get out of their own equipment and put somebody else in there. I know firsthand, because we can't find a ride right now to go down to that event. And we're just, I'm like JJ, we're sitting here, you know, spectators and sitting on the sidelines. So it's just, I wish 360 Racing was offered more, you know, more seats up, but it's just not like that. And there's a couple factors maybe that played into that.
Yeah. The 21 car, the Impact Signs Awnings and Wraps car, is that David Goodson's car? Do we know that for a fact?
No.
No?
Goodson's just the money behind it.
He's spending the money on it,
it's,
right?
It's Terry Dukes' car, so that
Terry owns the car himself.
Terry owns the car. Miles Paulus drove the car for 3 or 4 years, I think it was. Won a couple championships, ton of races, and then ultimately was booted out of the ride because the Ramey team came in with money. And
you can't hardly blame that, though, really, right? I mean, if you're spending your own money sometimes, man, it's taxing on a person to spend their own money sometimes. I don't know what kind of tax bracket Terry's in, but listen, anytime somebody brings in some money, it's hard to turn that down, though, isn't
it?
Yeah,
it's just unfortunate because, you know, that car went from being a winning and competitive car to mid-pack to the back at, you know, a lot of these shows.
He's getting better, though, I think.
They lost a really good driver and kind of burnt a bridge, in my opinion. But money talks, money is king, and money will always prevail.
Yeah. I think he's getting better, though. It seems like it to me. It seems like when he goes over and runs that 410 and he comes back and runs the 360, he seems like he's getting a little bit better, just in my opinion. So that's just me. So. That's kind of sad not to see J.J. Hickel there. Roger Crockett ended up running second last year. Scott Boguski was third. Blake Kahn was fourth. And Howard Moore was fifth. Let's start breaking it down right now, Austin. Who do you think is the odds-on favorite to win this race this weekend? Is there one guy that stands heads and shoulders above the rest? Is it a Wayne Johnson? Is it a Blake Kahn? Ayrton Jennington, I mean, you got to think about him, man. He is such a talented driver. Who do you think is Derek Hagar? You can't count him out, right?
No. I think Hagar is going to be probably the toughest one, or everybody, the one everybody's kind of talking about right now. Or
you know where he finished last year? He started on the pole and he ran 14th. I don't know what happened to him.
What happened last year was for the both prelim nights, it was super slick. It took rubber the first night, but it always takes rubber on the first night at the Hockett. But the last two nights were really good. So it was really slick the first two nights, and they went out there before our feature and did a big rework on it, and it was heavy for almost the entire race. I mean, it had a good curb on it, and it didn't get somewhat slick until the last 10 laps of the 40-lap race.
Yeah.
And it just... Hagar stuff wasn't really, and he mentioned it wasn't really set up to be on that heavy of a track. They weren't that good when it was that heavy, and it when they did that rework, it just kind of killed his momentum and his run, and you know, that's why you saw some guys kind of, you know, get up there in front of him fall back that far. But if they keep the track pretty consistent all week long and it's slick, and they don't do a big rework like that before the feature on Saturday, and Hagar starting up in the first, you know, three or four rows.
Yep.
He's going to be tough.
Yeah, no doubt about it. There's a couple guys. Listen, we've talked about Joe B. Miller, and I'm fighting some allergies today, folks, so excuse me if I have to cough here a second. But we know Ryan Timms isn't going to be there, right?
I'm pretty sure he won't be there. He wasn't on the entry list, and if I was him, I'd stay on the West Coast with the Outlaws, which I think he is doing.
Yeah, no doubt about it. He's been dying to run with the Outlaws for a long time. So, Dylan Westbrook is a guy you need to keep your eye on. Dylan is really good. He started eighth last year. He ran 11th. But I think that the Canadian driver has a chance to win this race this weekend. How about you?
Yeah, I mean, he could have a shot if it kind of rolls his way, but I'm not. I remember the first night we were down there, he smoked a tractor tire and ended his prelim night on the first lap. I don't remember reading it up the second night. I'm pretty sure he made the show, and then he, you know, had that, you know, okay run it on Sunday. On Saturday, actually. I don't know. I mean, he's had some speed here. I just don't really feel like, you know, he has, you know, that good of a history at Lucas. I'm trying to think back a couple of years ago. I don't ever really remember him being a big name you got to keep an eye on throughout the week. I think it's going to come down to some guys that have some you know, success there past right, in the yep. past. So a Blake, Hahn, Sam, Hagar, Wayne will be good.
Has Ayrton ever won a race down there?
No. Mm. He ran second to Ryan Timms at the Open Wheel Showdown in 2021. Should have won it. Lab car got in the way. But also, you got to keep an eye on the guys that run 410s all the time to kind of come back down. So Roger Crockett, Jennetton, Sam's falls in that category too. So guys,
Covington has to fall in that category a little bit. I mean, he's pretty good.
Yeah, he's been really good here recently. Yeah. I mean, Lakeside did okay at the Nationals. He did really well at Lakeside again. And then he had a good run last night, too. It's just until the rubber came in, it wasn't right. much you could do.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about that race last night at Clay County Fair. The Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour ran up there last night. Tim Crawley picks up the win. That track kind of rubbered up, though, last night. when you see a track rubber, you typically don't see it rubber that wide as it did last night. Would you agree with me on that, Austin?
Yeah, there's times where I've seen, you know, rubber kind of widen out, but it's kind of rare. I don't know what the need was to put all that water on it before they went out there and ran the feature.
Right before the feature.
You know, they ran that stock car feature, and the track didn't look too bad. I mean, the cushion was pretty good. It had some moisture on the bottom for a couple lanes, especially in 3 and 4. Then we also saw it, too, like, with the stock cars and their narrow tires, it kind of chews up the track a little bit.
Yeah.
And they were throwing up a bunch of the marbly stuff, you know, kind of in the middle. And I think, you know, them kind of opening the track up a little bit would have been good for the sprint cars for a couple laps. But, you know, they put water on it, makes it really good top to bottom. And then, you know, that water gets burned off of it. Now it's just slick under it. And it's just, it makes it really dirty the first couple laps, too.
Yeah.
And that's just, it's never good when it gets that dirty on top of the slick. And it just, everybody, the bottom burned up too fast because of the water. And then it just migrated to the top. And, you know, you get 24 cars running single file on the top. What's it going to do? It's going to lay rubber when it's that slick, too. So
right.
It's just, you know, they had a good track last year, and they just made a bad call on it this year.
Do you think that Blake Hahn, me personally, nothing against Tim Crawley, because Tim Crawley got out front, and he did what he had to do to win that race. He's a seasoned veteran, and we're going to miss him when he retires at the end of the year. But Blake Hahn and Wayne Johnson seem like they might have been a little bit faster than Tim Crawley. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, Blake ran him down there. Mm-hmm. I can't remember what lap it was. It was about halfway through the race.
And Wayne was putting pressure on Blake, too.
Yeah, well, the only reason Wayne got to Blake is Blake had to back up his run because he got to Tim and he couldn't get by him. I mean, they were stuck in live traffic on the cushion, and it just wasn't.
Right, yeah.
There wasn't an open space on the track to get a big run and throw a slider, and the track just wasn't going to be good for that. Because if you would have pulled out a line and slid them, you would have wasted too much time across the center of the track or the black, because it was so slick. Now you lost your momentum, and then you get to the cushion, which is kind of curvy in four. You wouldn't have, you know, a ton of momentum leaving the slide job, and maybe it opened up the door for Wayne to get by if you were Blake Hahn in that situation. But yeah, it was kind of a tricky track that they had last night.
Yeah, do we know if Derek Hagar is going to run a non-wing car down there? He usually does, doesn't he?
I don't remember him doing that last year.
Maybe he didn't do it last year, but I know he has done it in years past. Dave Tyson said Jennetton is running fast right now. I think Mario Clauser in the non-wing. Hope I don't jinx those fine racers. Seth Bergman is a guy that we didn't mention. Seth Bergman gets around Lucas Oil Speedway pretty good, too. You got to keep an eye on that guy.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he ran the Open Wheel Showdown race this year in May and had a really good run. He's just, Seth's good anywhere he goes. So, yeah, you got to keep your eye on really the former national tour guys from a couple of years ago.
You know, I say this about Seth all the time. Seth is one of the better 360 sprint car racers in the country. Would you agree with me on that?
Yeah, I could agree with you.
Yeah, because, I mean, listen, if Seth ran full-time with the Lucas Oil ASCS National Sprint Car Tour, he'd be right in the middle of that in the middle of this points championship. Would you agree? I think he would be anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. Do you have an opinion on that?
Yeah, I think he could if he could be consistent. You know, we saw Seth, you know, run a little bit last year and had some good speed, and then just went on about a month and a half streak of just crashing cars, and it ultimately, you know, forced him off the tour. And now it kind of forced him to take a crew chief role with Garrett Williamson. I'm not sure if he's still with him. I haven't seen him really at the track that much.
Right.
But, you know, at the end of last year, he was with him. And then, you know, it forces him this year to kind of run, you know, hit and miss. Also, his company's doing pretty well, too. But,
yeah
I think if he can be consistent and keep his stuff under him and commit to a full-time tutor, I mean, he'd be really good. I'd really be interested to see what he would do in a 410. Because if you're that good with the 360, it's going to be so much easier on you when you go to a 410. So I think if we could see him maybe run some 410 stuff next year, if not run maybe the Powerride, you know, tour full time, right, which is still kind of regional to where he is. I mean, he could be contender about anything he does.
I think Seth would prefer to run for the Lucas Oil ASCS National Championship if the funds were there. I'm not sure the funds are there. And it seems like every time he tries to run for the National Tour Championship, he has problems early in the season, and that gets him behind the eight ball a little bit. I've seen that happen a time or two with Seth.
Yeah, it's tough. Once you get in a hole, it's tough to get out of it.
Yeah.
And once it keeps, you know, digging down deeper, I mean, it's even tougher. But that's what we saw, you know, really happen last year.
Yeah, no doubt. Last night, I guess the hard charger was Landon Crawley. He came up seven spots last night. I think he ended up running 13th last night. But he started deep in the field, so a good run for him getting up through the field. Quick time last night was Blake Kahn. He ran a 14.08 with a 7, so a good night for him qualifying-wise. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Derek Hagar is going to join us right here on the show. We hope that you'll stick around and hang out. We'll talk to Derek Hagar about his big weekend coming up this weekend down at Lucas Oil Speedway. It's the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial. We'll talk to Derek Hagar next right here on Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties. contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Here at Specialty Sports, we're in-house. We do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9 hole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back to the show. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. And joining us now on the show is a guy that I just love watching get around Lucas Oil Speedway. Really, just about any track in Missouri. He picked up the win down at Lake Ozark Speedway here just a few weeks ago. Derek Hagar joins us now on the show. Derek, how you doing, brother?
Man, pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, you deserve to be on this show more than maybe anybody. I'm trying to think what year you've won in the non-wing car and you've won in the wing car. Did you win the overall win in the non-wing car 1 year? Did you do that once?
Yeah. Yeah, we swept the weekend. We won both nights, Friday and Saturday night, in the Jesse Hockett car. So we're the only ones that's been able to win the final night on the wing portion and the non-wing portion.
Yeah. So what makes you so good, Dan? You know, we were sitting here talking about it in the opening of the show. I know that you're a shot guru, right? And I know that you know a thing or two about.
I mean, I like to think of myself that way, but I think what really helps me is being able to understand every component on the race car, and know what shot package I need, and I'm not just jumping in the car hoping what we did works. I mean, we got a good baseline, and I got a good crew behind me. Kenny's no dummy to this stuff, and it really helps me. I'm very fortunate to have him in my corner because he's sitting in the driver's seat once too, and he can look at the race car and all I got to do is look at him, and he knows if it's a good look or a bad look, and he knows what to fix and when to fix it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The racetrack, sometimes the first couple races that we went there, if you remember back in the day, and I know you do, the first two times we went there, it rubbered up really bad. But it seems like the folks down at Lucas Oil Speedway have figured out how to make this track racing for sprint cars since then, haven't they?
Oh, they definitely have, and they got all the right equipment and the right crew working this track, and you know, just with everything, you know, it's hard to hit everything right on the head whenever you first, you know, get a series or a car that don't work. The sprint car stuff kind of does little different things to the racetracks, and then you start getting 100-something cars each night racing on it. You know, you got to learn the limits on what to do prep-wise to get the racetrack where to last all night.
Yeah. We're hearing that there's 70-some wing cars, and right now as we speak, we're hearing that there's 60-some non-wing cars. Are you going to drive a non-wing car this weekend?
Man, I'm not. Ever since, you know, the Hockets and Dave Cordy split, you know, it kind of it's too much work for us to be able to bring two cars and focus on trying to win in both classes. So, you know, it kind of made it easy when I was driving for Hockets and Dave Cordy, because they dealt with that car, and I was able to go back to my car and do what I needed to do with my car. So, you know, there's so many cars now, and trying to do it three nights in a row, man, it makes it tough.
You know, I'm surprised nobody comes up and says, hey, man, why don't you drive my non-wing car for me? Because you're so good there. Do people reach out to you and ask you to drive non-wing cars? And are you picky about if you're going to drive somebody else's car?
Yeah, I mean, I would like for it to be, you know, good equipment. I was very fortunate when I drove for Dave and Mr. Hockett. You know, it was all of Jesse's stuff. So, I mean, he had his non-wing program figured out. And, you know, I don't consider myself a non-wing driver by no means. But, you know, driving for them, you know, just made it easy on me. They had the right equipment. They knew a good baseline. I mean, I couldn't do no wrong in that car. I could float the middle. I could run the bottom. I could do whatever I wanted to in it, and that thing would still drive forward. So, mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be hard to top, you know, a team like that. And, you know, our main focus is the wing portion. I mean, there's a lot of money to win there. And you know, last year we won the first two nights, and I think they tried to make sure that it was going to be hard on me the second night not being so slick. So
right.
Or the third night not being so slick going for the 10,000.
Yeah. Earlier this year, you picked up a win in March at I-30 Speedway. I hate to bring this up, but you know what the rumors are about I-30, right? Everybody knows about what's going on, and I gotta believe there's a lot of truth into those rumors, right? So what do you feel about I-30 going away? As a driver and as a person that's raced there a lot in your lifetime, that's got to be a little sad to you, isn't it?
It definitely is, man. Anytime a racetrack closes, you know, it's terrible. And then, you know, I don't know. Like I said, it's a rumor right now. You know, Tracy, she hasn't really said yay or nay or what's going on, which, you know, I respect her for that. And you know, I hope it's a rumor. I hope it's not, you know, something that's happening. But, you know, everybody, it's been a rumor for many, many years. But, you know, it kind of hits close to home whenever it's one of your home racetracks. So you just kind of think of the future, what's racing going to be around here. I mean, because that's one of the premier racetracks. I mean, short track nationals, that's, you know, 2006 when I first started running 360 sprint cars, you know, we had 120-something cars that year, and I made the show, and, you know, that was the highlight of my career, you know, 15 years old, making the short track nationals at 15 years old with 120-something cars, you know, you know, the prestige of the event isn't as big as what it used to be, but it's still short track nationals, and it still brings good cars and has a good payout.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You won that race earlier in March. You beat Landon Britt and Ryan Timms, Aaron Reitzel, Wayne Johnson. That was a pretty packed. That was a pretty good field of cars that you had to outrun that night down there in March.
It definitely was, man. And you know, like I said, like I said in my interview with Scotty last week at Lake Ozark, we might not be able to out horsepower these guys, but we can out torque them and out drive them in the slick. And you know, you can tell who's got motors, you know, whenever the racetrack's heavy. I mean, anybody can stop and steer, and that's just not my type of racing. And you know, I'm a finesse, be smooth, be gentle with it, take care of the equipment. You know, right now we updated to the latest head rule with one of our motors, and you know, it's not working for me. I'm not a stand on the gas and just twist the guts out of the motor for no reason. You know, I got to be moving forward and you know, passing cars to be able to do that. And if it's not working, I'm not like these kids nowadays where they just stand on the gas, let's wheel spin, catch up with a car and go with it. You know, I like having what I call a little bit of reserve to where if I need a little more throttle pedal to get by somebody, I can use it. And, you know, this is where racing's going to now, you know, opening the head rules and just getting this stuff way out of the park to where, you know, it don't take any smarts to drive it. You just hold it on the floor and let it go where it wants to go.
Right, right. So do you feel that you're better at controlling the wheel spin than maybe some other guys are? I mean, we see all these young guys. We've not mentioned any names, but there's a lot of young guys that just stab and steer out there right now. Do you feel?
Oh, definitely. I mean, if they don't have something to lean on, you know, they're not going forward. You know, and that, I think that's where, you know, I shine is you give me something that's smooth, slick, and there's, you know, even if there is something to lean on, I can make the middle work. And I, you know, I've practiced it over the years, and Kenny's beat it in my head. Is throttle control, and you know, I think I like to think I got the best throttle control of anybody out there. I've been accused of traction control, but the only traction control I got is my right foot.
Right. Well, hey, you picked up that win down at Texarkana 67 Speedway as well. That was I think that was your second win of the year, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. You know, we started out kind of slow, not many wins, and then we clicked off three right there back to back, and you know, been at it ever since.
Yeah. What do you think about Lake Ozark Speedway? You did pretty good down there the other night. You beat Joe B. Miller. Joe B. Miller is a man. That dude is a driver. He's a wheel man, isn't he?
He is, and he's getting better and better in the wing car. I mean, you know, he's the guy that beat the micros, and he's got that stuff figured out. And, you know, his wing program has come a long way, and he's progressed really, really well as a driver.
Yeah. What do you think about that racetrack itself down there at Lake Ozark Speedway? You like
it? It's a different facility. I mean, I think there's a lot of things outside looking in that I would like to see change as far as track prep.
Right.
You know, back when Mr. Ed was working the racetrack, man, that place was phenomenal.
It was solid.
And now there's a built-in cushion, you know, man-made holes that are getting in the corner. I mean, it's just it gives it character, but, you know, that's just a lot of race cars are getting tore up for no reason. And, you know, I think there's some stuff to be changed. Like I said earlier, I mean, there's growing pains and you gotta do wrong before you know what's right. So,
right.
You know, I think there's room for improvement and, you know, I think they can get it done.
Yeah. How many more Lucas Oil ASCS National Tour races are you going to run this year? Are you going to go to Devil's Bowl again? I hate to spread rumors, but you know, we're a talk show, and we have to talk about things that are going on. And there's rumors that Devil's Bowl might be sold as well. Are you going to go down there for the Winter Nationals?
No, I mean, we won't be at Devil's Bowl. We got some shows here at West Memphis that we're going to run towards the end of the year. You know, obviously we got three nights this weekend with ASCS, and then the Short Track Nationals, and that'll be about it with this ASCS national stuff.
Yeah. What would it mean to win the Short Track Nationals if that racetrack was to close? Wouldn't it be nice to hang your hat and say, I won the last Short Track Nationals? Wouldn't that be thrilling?
It would be, man. You know, right now we're leading the points for Little Rock, and, you know, I'm not one to run for championships. I've done it one time, and it took all the fun out of the racing for me.
Yes, it does.
Just because the seriousness of having to be smart and run for a championship. I go to win races. I need to finish here to hold the points lead or gain as many points, stuff like that. So, you know, I would love to run for the ASCS national points. You know, I think we could be a contender to win the points championship.
No doubt.
It's just the time and the funds to do it.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, it would be nice to win the Short Track Nationals. You know, heaven forbid this be the last one. We've won plenty of prelim nights. Just always we've come up one spot short of winning the big show.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit more about the Jesse Hockett Danny McMillan Memorial. You know, Austin and I were talking a little bit earlier in the show. What is the money's pretty good, right? $10,000
It is.
Mm-hmm. Right. But is it more about winning the race, the Jesse Hockett Danny McMillan Memorial, than the money? Or is the money as important as the win? Tell us what you think on that.
Well, I mean, from my standpoint, the money's, you know, money's good because, I mean, I everything the car makes, it goes right back into the racing account. I mean, I don't have big sponsors. I gotta make ends meet, but it definitely helps get us up down the road. But the prestige of the event, I tell people all the time, this is like my new short track nationals. I mean, this is the premier event that everybody wants to go to. Everybody wants to win. You know, the Saturday night whenever they do the fireworks, you can feel the heat off the fire bombs that they let off in the race car. You know, I always joke with people and say it. You know, they melted our tear offs before we even got to go green. So, well, you know, that gets you pumped up and you know, standing in front of crowd and being on TV. I mean, it really makes it awesome.
Yeah. How much does that mean to you being on TV so people can watch that? Because they replay that race so many times during the winter months. How important is that to you?
It's very important. You know, we'll be sitting somewhere eating and they'll have Mav TV or something on and you know, nobody in the restaurant knows who it is, but, you know, it's pretty cool seeing your stuff on TV and, you know, knowing it's broadcasted around the world. So, you know, I feel that it helps the sport. And then, you know, being able to have family and my daughter and my wife, all them, you know, people on the show, you know, on TV, because, you know, I think that we have probably the biggest victory lane photos of anybody that ever goes to victory lane. So, right. You know, whenever they take a picture of our car, you can't even see the car. We got so many people in front of it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So this is a big weekend for you. And what would you, I sit here and I think about the races that we run during the year. The 360s Nationals up at Knoxville, the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial, the Short Track Nationals. How would you rate those first, second, and third in your eyes? As a driver, which one of those races is biggest to you?
I would say the Hockett McMillan Memorial, man, because it's the hype you get going to that place, the facility, the fans, the TV time. There's so much stuff to do there and fan interaction there that I always look forward to that event. I look forward to Short Track. You know, Short Track's probably number two on my list, and you know, obviously the 360 Nationals would be last on that because, I mean, like I said, we don't have the motors to go to run that stuff, and
right.
And you know, we're more of a short track based team, and that's where we really shine.
How's it been going for you down there at the ditch? How's it going down there for you?
It's been pretty good. I think we've won two or three races there. We won the Greg Hodnett Memorial the night after we won at Texarkana with ASCS. So that was about a $12,000 weekend for us. So that was pretty good. And whenever you can win at home, you know, less fuel expense and all that stuff, that really helps as well. So we've had a good season there. You know, that place has been around a long time, and I'm hoping that we can get some more cars, more fans, and keep this place around a little bit longer.
Yeah. Is the fan count been down a little bit down there this year?
Yeah, we're right here at Memphis. I mean, there's too much stuff to do around town, and
that's,
you know, you talk to people that they don't even know the racetrack still exists. So, you know, we got to do better as drivers and promoters to just put it out there that we're still here, and you know, we still got stuff going on, and family friendly environment.
It seems like to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but promoters today seem like they just open the gates and let people come. I don't see enough promotion out of racetracks anymore. Would you agree with me on that?
I agree on that. And, you know, back in the day, I mean, people just, that's all that they knew to do was go to the racetrack. Well,
right.
I say the newer generation, my age people, they don't, once their parents quit taking them to the races, they could just quit going. They don't take their kids. And, you know, like I said, there's so much stuff to do nowadays with Top Golf and just so many different entertainment things going on that wasn't happening back, you know, in the 70s, 80s, and, you know, 90s. You know, that people forget that racing locally really exists.
Let me ask you this. Do you think it's because kids don't work on cars anymore, these cars that we have nowadays? When I was a kid, man, if your carburetor messed up, you got a screwdriver out and you tapped on the float and you tried to get it to run a little bit better and make it, mm-hmm. and make it run or do whatever you had to do. But kids today don't work on cars like they used to, do they?
They don't. And, you know, that's they buy their way, really. And, you know, that's just the way racing has gotten. I mean, if you can make $2,500, $3,500 a night to have somebody driving your car plus what they tear up, I mean, it's no-brainer.
Right. Yeah.
To let them pay that money. But, you know, when we're that age, we're all going to be the next Jeff Gordon or Dale Earnhardt. So, you know, yeah. the parents, they're going to spend whatever it takes to get them to that next level, and which is, you know, understandable. But at the same time, I think it hurts the sport more than it helps it.
I still think there's some young, talented, rich kids that are pretty good race car drivers, don't you?
Oh, most definitely. Oh, yeah, most definitely.
Yeah.
They just, you know, ride opportunity, and they've made the best of it.
Right, no doubt about it. All right, so when are you leaving town? When are you headed back up to Missouri?
Kenny's already there, actually, with the rig. Got our end spot, but I'm going to leave here probably about 3:00, heading that way myself.
Oh, so you're going to be up here tonight then, huh?
Yeah, I'll be up there late this evening.
Well, I'm going down today myself, so how about you and I have a beer tonight? How about that?
Well, we can do that.
All right, buddy. Well, I appreciate you taking the time to join us here on Mostly Motorsports, buddy. I hope that you go down there and you have some great success this weekend. It'd be a pleasure to see you do so. It'd be nice to put that $10,000 in your pocket.
Man, it would be, man. I appreciate you having me on the show. And, you know, this time last year, we lost Jacob and Wilson. And I told his dad that we were going to go out there and try to win all three of them. We won two of the three. So
yeah.
Hopefully this year we can go out there and seal the deal. And, you know, the week after we got home is when Kenny got sick with COVID and we about lost him. And so, you know, right now it's a emotional time of the year for us because a lot of things happened last year that were out of our control, but we're going to go back this year and rebound and try to get all three nights this year.
Let me tell you a little story about Jacob. I called him Ed, right? A lot of people called him Ed. But let me tell you, he spent the night at my house one time when he was pitting for Tony Bruce Jr.
Yeah.
Wayne Purdy, Tony Bruce Jr., and Ed all stayed at my house. And next thing you know, Ed had his guitar out, and my kids were young, right? And Ed was serenading my daughters with the guitar as he played the guitar. Can you believe that?
That don't sound like Ed.
Huh?
That don't sound like Ed.
He was. And let me tell you, I got a little drum set over there, and I don't know if you know this, but Ed was a pretty good drummer. Jacob could play the drums.
He was a man of many talents. He could make you laugh. He wasn't scared to do anything.
He was one of the best guys I've ever met, to be honest with you.
Most definitely.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Oh, okay, Derek. Thanks for taking the time. We appreciate it. We'll see you tonight and we'll have a beer. Okay, buddy?
All right, Scott. I appreciate it, bud.
All right, there you have it. Derek Hagar, we're going to take a break when we come back. More of Mostly Motorsports right here on RBN, the Racing Boys Broadcasting Network.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
There is less than 1/100th of an inch of motor oil protecting your car's engine. Friction and heat causes engine oil to experience thermal breakdown, weakening its ability to protect the engine and its parts. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer is specially formulated to resist thermal breakdown, protect vital engine parts, and extend the life of your engine. It also stops smoking, knocking, and oil consumption in worn engines. Lucas Heavy Duty Oil Stabilizer. Keep that engine alive.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Next to your vehicle's engine, your transmission is the most important component of your car. If it's not properly maintained, your car may not shift properly. By adding Lucas Transmission Fix to your transmission, it cleans and lubricates sticking valves for proper shifting, renews worn bands to stop slipping, stops seal leaks, will not void new car warranties, contains no harmful solvents. Lucas Transmission Fix. It works.
Jared Specialty Sportswear, in-house, we do all of the screen printing, all the embroidery. We do some vinyl. The other add specialty items like your pens, magnets, notepads, calendars. You can actually buy that, build your business, to make it larger. We have the largest screen printing process and the largest embroidery anywhere around in the area. We can do stuff all the way from your school clubs to sports teams, a professional look in the office. If you can imagine it, we can do it for you.
Missouri's must play getaway, Osage National Golf Resort.
3 9-hole whole courses to choose from at the Lake of the Ozarks in the Osage River Valley. Stay and play packages in our first-class condos. A beautiful clubhouse complete with pro shop and exercise facilities. A large pool for relaxation and families. The Eagle View Sports Bar and Grill. Great wedding facilities. Go online and make your tee time today.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.
You're listening to Mostly Motorsports with Scott Traylor.
Welcome back. It's Mostly Motorsports. It's all brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works. We'll talk a little bit about that late model race last night up at Fairbury. Flow night at the races. Bobby Pierce picked up the win. Hackenhurst, is that his name?
Oh my God! I just sit here and practice this.
I know it. I'm terrible. What is it?
Frank Hackenhurst.
Hackenhurst. I'm terrible with names, but just so you know.
I'm used to it.
Hey,
not with you. Not with you.
Hold on now. I'm not as bad as some, right? Who's worse with names?
Man, I don't know. I gotta call out my crew guy, Mike.
He's not good with names?
Man, I don't know. I think he might rival you sometimes.
I hope
you're listening.
Mike, if you're listening, you're in good company, my friend, just so you know. So what did you think about that race last night? Bobby Pierce, I get it that Shannon Babb was running him pretty hard there at the beginning of the race. And the 99 Junior car was coming up and putting the heat on him there at the end of the race. But was there ever a question that you – did you ever think that Bobby Pierce was not going to win that race last night, Austin?
A couple of times. You know, we saw early in the race, Dennis Erb had a really good run. You know, Erb led the first handful of laps, and we kind of saw a typical lanes out of both those guys. Pierce was committed to the top the first handful of laps, and Dennis was committed to the bottom, and they were both making it work. And, you know, Dennis kind of slipped up a couple times and, you know, opened the door for Bobby. But Bobby, you know, kind of must have saw or seen something on the bottom that he didn't like that the top didn't have and moved down and ran the bottom. And he actually was making it work, and it's very, you know, uncharacteristic for Bobby to run the bottom like that. And I was kind of surprised he stayed with it that long. And, you know, about the middle part of the race, it kind of got strung out there with Bobby. But towards the end of the race, I mean, you know, Frank had a really good run the last five laps. I don't know. He got to second there on the restart, it was like fourth he got to. And his car just kind of stayed right with like the top three, and it didn't show a lot of speed. And then a couple laps later, I mean, that thing fires off and he runs the second, and then he runs down Bobby. So I don't know if he could have fired off maybe five laps earlier with 10 to go and got the second at that point instead of with 2 to go.
Right.
He might have had something for Bobby. And if Bobby doesn't kind of move up to the middle, I think it might have been with 2 or 3 to go, and Frank commits to the top instead of, you know, peeling off and running the bottom, he might drive by him at that point. When he went to the bottom like that and lost his momentum, it races over. Bobby, you know, was able to kind of pull back away. But, you know, I think if they catch a couple of yellows, Ricky Thornton might have something to say about it. Shannon Babb, if Babb does Babb things and gets up on the cushion.
Yeah, needed some cautions.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, I mean, you probably had, you know, a handful of guys right there, you know, throughout the race that, you know, had a shot.
Yeah, Dennis Erb Jr., he faded. He started on the pole. He ended up running seventh last night.
You know, you watch that race, and I know it's, you know, you have yellows, and they talk about guys, you know, I think it was with 20 to go, they had a yellow, and, you know, you might have a guy running 10th that, you know, is out of the question, has a yellow, and within 20 laps, he's sitting there battling for the lead. I think that's what we kind of saw with, like, Ricky Thornton and, you know, Frank Häkkinen. So it's weird how that place can, you know, get guys who are out of contention, back at the top 10, to the lead or battling for the top three in a short amount of time. I feel like it's like super speedway racing on, you know, a quarter mile, you know, dirt oval with super late models. It's just, it's weird how that place can put on really good racing and really, you know, act, you know, kind of in its own category.
Yeah. Were you a little surprised that Billy Moyer Sr., Jimmy Owens, Brian Shirley had to run the B main?
I'm surprised Shirley had to run the B, because Shirley's pretty good in these Illinois, you know, little bull rings.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Moyer, Owens, I'm a little surprised, but I'm really not too caught off guard with them having, you know, run a B and not make it.
Yeah, no doubt. Jason Fager, he ran ninth in that B. He started 10th. He didn't really show much speed last night, did he, the 25 car?
Yeah, I don't know. Where did he end up?
He ended up running ninth in the B main.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. Something must have happened, you know, earlier in the night that mired him back there. But normally you'd see him, you know, kind of, you know, right in the middle of this field with this competition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt. All right, so do we start thinking about who do you think is going to win this weekend at the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial? Who before you pick... And we'll watch some of the nights of racing before we give our final pick on Saturday morning. But who are your top three drivers that you think have a chance to win the Jesse Hockett Daniel McMillan Memorial? Do you have a top three?
Yeah, it's pretty much the top three we talked about earlier. I think you got to look at Sam. Sam would be, you know, up there.
Is he the odds-on favorite?
I don't know. I'm sure.
He's got to be, isn't he?
I think Derek Hagar would be second. Blake Hahn third.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
That's maybe my top three going into this week. And I know I'm forgetting some people, but you got 70 cars to pick from. You have 67 guys you're going to leave out in.
A lot of good cars.
In that group.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to say that I think Derek Hagar, Blake Hahn, and my third driver would have to be Sam. It has to be Sam.
So the same three I picked.
Same three. I don't know who else. Can Tim Crawley win the short? Can he win the Hockett, do you think?
Yeah, I think Tim could be a contender.
Yeah, no doubt. I think so. I think he could.
You know, we're going to go to this race with 70 cars and have about 40 cars that can win it.
And you're going to need some luck along the way, too, though, right?
Yeah, maybe 30 cars that can win it. But you get what I'm saying. There's
there's
a lot of good cars that could have a shot, and it's just a matter of having that perfect night. I mean, the format's different than it has been in the past. It's just I thought they just added a qualifying to it, and it's not. Normally we'd have heat racing, qualifiers, an LCQ, and a B. Now it's going to be, you know, heat racing and qualifying and straight to probably three or four Bs and straight to the A, maybe a C main, most likely a C, a couple Bs, and then to the A. So the format's going to be different. It's going to be interesting to see who can take advantage of it and, you know, come out on top each night.
Hey, we want to remind everybody about what's going on up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum right now. They've got a great track tribute to Ascot Park that was in Gardena, California. It's going to be going on through October 1st up the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Need to get up there and check it out, man. They've just got all kinds of memorabilia. They've got helmets, uniforms, videos. All kinds of great cars that are up there that raced out at Ascot Park back in the day. It's all going on right now through October 1st up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Folks, please do yourself a favor. Go to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame. They're open 7 days a week. So if you need to go up there on a Sunday, if you got to work Monday through Saturday, you can still go up there on a Sunday. It's not a bad drive for me. For me personally, from Kansas City, it's about a three-hour drive. It's well worth the three-hour drive to get up there to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, see this great track tribute to one of the great racetracks that this country's ever seen, Ascot Park. That was in Gardena, California. It closed up many, many years ago, but it's such a great track tribute. Get up there and check it out at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And while you're up there, purchase yourself a Sprint Car raffle ticket. You know they've got a complete 410 Sprint Car that they're going to give away, and they're going to be doing that on Friday, December 16th. Get up there, purchase some tickets, try to win this Sprint Car. They're going to give you $25,000 to help you pay for the taxes on it as well. And if you're not comfortable giving your credit card information online, you can always give them a call at 641-842-6176. That's 641-842-6176. It's all going on right now up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And Bob Baker does such a great job with that place up there. Folks, get up there. It's one of the great treasures in racing, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. Get up there and check it out, if you can, up there in Knoxville, Iowa, just on Highway 14, right over on Turn 2 at the Knoxville Raceway. So get up there and check it out, would you? All right, that's it. That's another show. Now, listen, tomorrow I'm going to be live down at Lucas Oil Speedway. I don't know who my guest is going to be, but I'll find somebody down there. We're going to drag him up there and have him on the show tomorrow, live from Lucas Oil Speedway. I'll be there. Austin and Kirk will be here, and we'll do the show live from down there, just like we did up at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. For my producer, Austin O'Neill, for my partner, Kirk Elliott, I'm Scott Traylor, saying thanks for joining us. Mostly Motorsports has been brought to you by Lucas Oil Products. It works.
One of the main reasons for poor vehicle performance is a dirty fuel system. It can cause decreased fuel economy and actually do harm to your engine over time. By adding Lucas Fuel Treatment to your vehicle, it cleans and lubricates the entire fuel system. Pump, carburetors, fuel injectors, and valves as you drive. It also improves your vehicle's performance. It's a non-solvent product designed to protect both gasoline and diesel engines. Lucas Fuel Treatment. It works.
Go harder, faster, stronger with Rod and Supply. Whether you are running industrial, farming equipment, or a race car, Rod and Supply has the assortment of rod ends, radius rods, and specialty products that will help you lead the field in performance. Our superior design means our rod ends last longer and perform better, giving you the edge on the track and saving you money. Contact Rod and Supply or order online today at rodandsupply.com. We don't just sell them, we race them. Rodandsupply.com, serving the racing community for over 30 years.
Race fans, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open 7 days a week, year-round, for you to come in and check out all of the wonderful race cars on display in the museum. And our online store at SprintCarStuff.com is open 24 hours a day for you to check out everything that we have in stock for Sprint Car fans. Whether it's for a birthday, anniversary, or Christmas, SprintCarStuff.com has it all. That's at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville.
At Lucas Oil, we take pride in creating problem-solving products to make your car care easier. We protect your vehicle and make it run longer so you can focus on the things that matter most. Whether it's commuting to work, visiting a loved one, taking the kids where they need to go, going to the big game, or anywhere life takes you, Lucas Oil is committed to getting you there for all of life's important moments. Lucas Oil, it works.